Welcome to the Misha Rauser Show. I'm Misha, an organizational psychologist, and I'll be taking you down a path towards achieving professional success while still having fun. For over a decade, I have been guiding individuals and organizations through professional transitions. The goal this hour is to help you, your business, or organization create a successful, engaging atmosphere without sacrificing a positive culture. So, let's get started. Hello, everybody, and thank you for listening. I'm Misha, and thank you for listening to the Misha Rauser Show. In this show, we're going to be live every Tuesday morning at 9 a.m. and talking about leadership and professional development. Basically, everything you need to know to be more confident and competent in your professional life. We're going to be talking about things like communication skills, personal productivity, leading without authority, everything even to emotional intelligence. So by listening each week, you will acquire the tools and wisdom and exposure to help you in your professional development. And joining me today, I have to introduce Benny. So Benny is officially my technician and my producer, correct?
I'm a Benny of all trades. I kind of I wear a number of hats, so it's totally good. But it's welcome to the KKNW lineup here in Seattle's Alternative Talk, so it's a pleasure to have you.
Thank you, Benny, and
welcome.
Thank you for doing this with me.
It's my honor.
And I am extremely honored and happy to have as my first guest on the show, Kathleen O'Brien. So Kathleen is an author, and she has done a lot in her career. One of the big things she has coming up right now, though, she has a book called Emerge that's going to be coming out. So first of all, let me welcome you. Hi, Kathleen.
Hi. Thanks so much for having me. It's exciting to be with you, and especially in this debut.
I know.
I'm
so
honored. I'm privileged.
Well, thank you. Yeah. Okay, so let me give you a little bit of bio on Kathleen. So Kathleen brings about 30 years plus as an award-winning educator, writer, strategic planner, and project consultant in the sustainable building field. Kathleen has been you've been providing leadership development support, including training, mentoring, and tools to green building professionals with the ultimate goal of making this world a better place for all living species now and into the future. It's pretty lofty goals. So Kathleen's new book is going to be coming out hopefully in about a month. Is called Emerge, a strategic leadership model for the sustainable building community. And while this is geared towards the sustainable building community, I would highly recommend it for anybody who is looking at how they can step more confidently in the type of leader that they want to be, but especially around, too, somebody who wants to make an impact and change in whatever environment they're in. So it has some amazing tools, some great research in it, and just an overall good toolbox. In fact, in your book, I was noticing at the end, you even have physically tools of how people can help develop themselves and become more of an emergent leader.
Right. I mean, one of the things that I wanted to do is be more than something that someone would read and maybe put on the shelf or even just inspire, that it actually would equip people with some ideas. And that's always sort of part of my DNA, let's put it that way, is, okay, roll up your sleeves. Now you've got the idea. Let's actually do something. Let's get something done. You know, when we were talking earlier, Misha, I was talking about sort of this legacy of mine in sort of terms of my family, which was, you know, if you learn something, do some good with it. And so that's too with this book. If you learn something, I want you to do some good with it. And I'm so happy that it's done. But also it'll be exciting to me to see people use it and do some good with it.
Yeah. You know, and it's what I like about it too is what you've done is you've also incorporated all of your experience and your learnings and from your education and your research and your own experiences, and really pulled a lot of these things that to a lot of people are kind of spread out, and you've brought it all together and said, okay, this is what I have found, and these are the tools and things that have actually worked, not just theoretically. Mm-hmm. And so our theme today, what we'll be talking about, I mean, the book goes into a lot of different things, but our main theme for today is talking about change. You know, how do we create change?
Right.
But before we get into that, I'd love to hear a little bit about you, too, and your background, because you've gone through some major changes in your life. You know, so I know one of them I was thinking about that I was mentioning to you a little bit earlier is, you know, from going to, well, adding to that. So one is your change into the company that you created. And then it was interesting because it's totally different than when you left and you decided to leave that. Mm-hmm. And what happened along those ways? What inspired the change? What got you to do the things that you did?
Well, I fell into the company that I created. I was much more deliberate about leaving it. and I think that was sort of that evolution, or that, let's say, shows the evolution that I went through in terms of finding out how or whether to do something, or identifying what the next step might be. When I was actually sharing this story with you earlier, and I'll repeat it for the listeners here, is just that I had no idea. I was about to move to the West Coast from the East Coast, and I had no idea what I was going to be doing. I had been working in this field, and by this field I mean sustainable building and those and topics. I was primarily a writer and a researcher, a journalist. And I had been living bicoastally with my husband. He was on the West Coast in the Seattle area. And I was flying back from one of my visits to John, that's my husband, and I said to the ultimate universe, hey, you better tell me what I'm doing next month because I'm moving there. And when I got back to my desk in Vermont, there was a proposal sitting on my desk. And the proposal really was to do the kind of work that I ended up, you know, I have ended up doing. It's been somewhat of a trip that I've been on, a journey that I've been on. But I fell into it, and one might say it was accidental, but in looking back, it wasn't an accident at all. It was exactly what I was supposed to be doing. Now, when I, after 20 years with the firm that I had created, I decided I was going to be passing it on to employees, which is what's happened, and it's very successful, I'm glad to say. It was much more deliberate. And so I thought about two things. One, what did I want with the company that I had formed? What was the legacy there? And so that helped shape the decisions around that in terms of who was going to be leading it and what my guidelines were in terms of giving it to them. But the other thing was then, what would I be doing with my time? And one of the things I actually did was I went on a pilgrimage. So my husband and I walked part of the Santiago, pilgrimage to Santiago, and we walked 200 miles that year. By the time I got home from that walk, I knew exactly what I wanted to be doing. It's not like I didn't know anything before, but somehow it crystallized in that walk. But I was very deliberate about that. Each day it was quiet. I was basically taking a retreat on my feet. And in doing so, I opened the door to the dream that I'm now living. And it's really quite fun.
So was when you had that vision, was the book part of it?
Oh, no. So I guess we still are unraveling the dream. But no, it was more sort of back to that legacy of learning how to learning things and then doing some good with it. I realized very clearly, and this was really prior to the walk, was that I knew things. I had lived experience about what how things changed for good. And what kinds of things that I could do, what kind of actions I could take, what kinds of thinking needed to be in place for that change to occur. So that I understood. But then it was, okay, how do I articulate that? And it started out with, I'm going to do one workshop. Well, Misha, you know, it's a dozen workshops since then, and it's a book now, and it's retreats that I'm doing, you know, around the region and all kinds of things that are happening around the philosophy that I eventually articulated on paper, but really had been living it. I don't know if that makes sense. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
It makes sense.
Okay.
Yeah, and so when you're thinking about then the book and the unfolding of the book and as you were creating it, did you hold something in, you know, in mind that the purpose of the book? What were you hoping that people would get out of the book?
Well, it is about a model, right? And the model was essentially created. It's like a bucket of ideas that I had that I had accumulated over the 30 years of my experience, but also my studies. You know, I have a master's in environment and community from Antioch. I've gotten a servant leadership graduate certificate from Gonzaga. So there have been, their scholarship is a part of it, but more of that actually just affirmed what I was learning, you know, what I had been learning through experience. So I definitely wanted to articulate what I had experienced and what I had learned. And, you know, you've read the book. It's really feeding both of those needs. But the other thing is people who are not here don't see I've got gray hair. You know, I'm 67, and I really wanted to leave a legacy. I really wanted people to do some good with what I've learned, you know. Yeah. And so that's really a big part of it.
Yeah. You know, because one of the things that I really like about the book is I will be asked a lot, especially, you know, my consulting with coaching and such, people will be asking me, what's a good leadership book? And it's hard to answer that question, as you know, because a lot of times, I mean, it depends. A lot of them are good. You read them all for different reasons. But the one thing I found is that a lot of times the leadership books will have maybe, you know, one little grain of, you know, here's a tool you can actually take, and here's something you can add, you know, one little piece. Where I felt your book was all of that. You know, I mean, it had so many different tools and so many different things that you have brought in that you've gathered through the years. And so it kind of covered so many, such a broad spectrum of leadership that I find very rare in books. Usually they just narrow in on one little thing. Mm-hmm. So that's, again, I like the fact that it's theory, it's story, here's the ideas, here's what we can be doing with it. Now, here's some tools to try it yourself. You know, here's how you can start. Mm-hmm. As well.
Well, I appreciate the compliment. It was deliberate. I mean, in fact, there was a point where I thought, should I be telling so much, so many personal stories? Should I just be sort of erudite and academic about this? Or should this be a memoir? And what I ended up doing was a mix, because that is who I am. When I'm standing up in a workshop, it's exactly the same person who wrote the book. So that's kind of the voice of the book. But the thing that is, I think, important to understand about this book is that it presents something that's different from a lot of the leadership books out there, in that we are talking aspirational leadership. So this isn't just about being successful at your job or being successful at making a company, you know, profitable. That this really has an aspiration to be doing, to influence something out there in society. And so by necessity, what we're incorporating are tools for change. Mm-hmm. And I do want to talk a little bit about that, because I think in many cases, the leadership literature out there, it's all, as you say, it's very interesting, it's very good. I've read it, I've incorporated it in the book, but I want to go beyond that. You know, that to me is where we start with change, is in the basic, you know, yes, we're honest, yes, we're credible, yes, you know, we get things done, we're achievers. But, okay, that's where we start.
Yeah. So part of that, then, is when you and I were talking about, you know, what we wanted to talk about on the show. Mm-hmm. And I asked you, you know, what would, if there was one thing that you'd want them to take away, what would that be? And part of what you were thinking about was, it's around the story. Mm-hmm. You know, that it's really an understanding of finding out what is a story that's holding change in place. And then how do you start to change that story?
Mm-hmm. So and that, you know, that's another sort of evolutionary thing. It was in my earlier projects. I noticed things were happening, some good things were happening accidentally. And I realized that maybe, or I asked the question, maybe we could actually have these things happen more intentionally. And one of the things that I saw happening, sort of the general category of things, was that stories changed. Stories for individuals, stories for organizations, they changed. And so this question was, could we actually intentionally change the narrative towards some positive result? And I have a great example of a building project in which that were the case. So in this particular, it was a human services organization in the city of Bremerton. They do a lot of good. around helping develop financial independence, helping people, connecting people to services or good health, education, those kinds of things. So already, whatever they did, it was good, right? They wanted to do a green building. They wanted to do an environmentally sensitive building. They wanted it to be certified by LEED, which is the Leadership for Energy and Environmental Design Standard, that certification. And when I met with them, I asked them, so why do you want to do this? And as we had that conversation, it became very, very clear that they were all about really helping their clientele and their employees have a better life. And so I really poked at them a little bit and said, well, is it really important for you to get this plaque, you know, for the wall? You know, it's a good thing. Obviously, I'm here. This is something that, you know, I'm all about. But what's the story that you want to tell? And it became clear that it wasn't about being an energy efficient building to save, you know, kilowatt hours or something like that. It was, it could be about being energy, sort of saving energy to be prudent with resources, you know, not just their own resources, but then as an example for their clientele. In another case, I mean, they were going to have a healthier building. And so they were also going to be modeling this for their clientele. And not just their clientele, but the people who worked for them. So one of the aspects of LEED is to have a tobacco-free building, for example. Several of their employees stopped smoking as a result of this process. The other thing was within the community, they were going to be the first LEED building within their community. So they were going to be this beacon of hope within the city of Bremerton, which actually had been coming, they were really just coming out of an economically depressed time. So it could be so much more. You know, they could tell a new story. And they were a great vehicle for that.
Yeah, and I love how you, with the discussion of that and when you're explaining it, is it changed then, okay, we just want to do the right thing of having an efficient building, to it actually changing themselves and helping to even make an impact and change the community. But and it, a lot of that was through the story, mm-hmm. or what is the story that's being told around it.
Right. I mean, I think that as a leader, you're not necessarily trying to reverse a story.
Right.
Because there's the DNA of, you know, every organization has a DNA. It's more looking at that DNA and finding the truth in it and then enhancing it.
Now, that's the hard part.
Yeah.
So that we will continue. Let's take a break real quick. So, again, you're listening to the Misha Rauser Show, and we are exploring change, and we are about to go into now how do you start to change that story? We'll be right back.
So effective leadership isn't something that just happens. It takes time and effort. Misha Rauser, master coach, organizational psychologist, and successful entrepreneur, has developed a concentrated series of courses to help you become your best as a leader and professional. Explore your leadership style, become a communications master, and learn to plan strategically in order to make better decisions. You'll learn emotional intelligence, team building, change management, and other skills for personal success, such as conflict resolution. There's a great leader inside you to be unlocked. Make the commitment to become a well-rounded, intelligent leader. Show the world around you that you are ready to lead. Log on to MishaRauser.com. That's MishaRauser.com to learn more. It's the Leadership Development Series. Your first step toward professional excellence begins at MishaRauser.com.
I love being a part of Action Team. It helps me help other people. It helps me feel good.
Being a part of a team always feels good. Go for it. Don't even hesitate.
For more than a decade, Major League Baseball players and Action Teams of high school students have been working together to train and inspire the next generation of volunteers.
Once you get there and realize how much you can change someone's life, it's one of the best feelings in the world.
Just that simple act that takes, you know, 5 or 10 minutes of your time is making a difference and is transforming someone else's life.
All-star Giancarlo Stanton and Chris Capuano join Action Team captains to make a difference in their communities. And you can too.
Just try it. Just go to one event, one Action Team event.
If we all show up together, that's what it's all about. It's not just one person. It's a group. It's a team.
It's been incredibly rewarding for me. It'll just make you feel so good about yourself.
I'd do anything to convince you just to be a part of this.
For more information, go to actionteam.org.
Hi, this is Misha, host of The Misha Rouser Show, heard Tuesdays at 9 a.m. on Alternative Talk 1150. If you want to overcome obstacles in your career, become an effective leader, and increase productivity while still having fun, tune in and learn, laugh, and be challenged. I've helped thousands leap over their professional hurdles, and I can help you too. Join me for The Misha Rouser Show, Tuesdays, 9 a.m. That's Tuesdays at 9 a.m. on Alternative Talk 1150.
Alternative to what? Alternative to everything else out there on the radio. Alternative Talk 1150 AM.
Hello, and welcome back to the Misha Rouser Show. Again, this show is going to be aired every Tuesday morning at 9 a.m., and we're going to be exploring leadership and professional development. A couple different things, too, also, just to let you know that I didn't cover in the beginning of the show, is that we do welcome callers. If anybody does have any questions, they can call. And how do they do that, Benny?
Sure, you can reach the studio lines here. There's two. It's 425-373-5527 or 888-298-5569, which conveniently spells out KKNW. So that should already be on your speed dial next to, you know, your mom. Not, mom's number one. Always, but number two should be us.
Okay.
So there you go.
That works. And, you know, if any of you are shy, too, and don't want to call in, you can also send me any questions that you would like answered. You're welcome to send those to me on to my website. Another thing about my website, too, for those of you who cannot listen to the show live, all of these shows will be recorded, and you can access those on my website as well. And you can even get the podcast of them on iTunes. So for any to send me any questions, to access any of the past recorded shows, and also just to find other tools that could help you in your leadership and professional development journey, you can visit my website at misharouser.com. And I know it might be hard to figure out how to spell it. So spelling it is M-E-I-S-H-A. And the last name's Rouser, R-O-U-S-E-R. And I found that if you try to Google me and you don't get my name right, you used to be able to find me. But now sometimes you'll get Misha Tate on there.
What? Well, actually, that's probably not too
cool.
Bad there either.
That's kind of cool.
She's pretty good about leading her way through many possibilities. So.
Yeah. So I'm like, that's not a bad thing. So again, the website is MishaRouser.com. And so right now we are talking to wonderful Kathleen O'Brien, and she has her new book coming out, Emerge. It is a strategic leadership model for sustainable building community. And we had left off, we are talking about change, and we had just started to get into part of initiating that change is to understand the story, because the story so holds the change in place. And so where I thought we could start with on that is actually explaining to those people who don't understand, you know, because we do have the organizational development psychology background to understand what that story means. But what is, when you think about the story, how would you explain it? How does somebody see it? What is it? How do they identify it?
Well, there's a lot of questions there, Misha. I think there are a lot of layers. For example, possible storylines could be, we are innovative. We do business differently. We are about the social good, for example. Social benefit corporations, for example, might have that story. We're responsible with our resources. Banks, obviously, would want to have that story. We care about our community. So those could be sort of the high-level stories. And then there are lots of threads throughout as well. You know, one of the things that I was thinking about as preparing for this interview this morning was the fact that when I needed my first business loan, I went to the bank on Bainbridge Island, which is where I was located, and I talked about the use of intuition in business plan.
And this is dated where intuition probably is not a good thing to have.
No, but there. What was really interesting, was that the banker actually said, this is a very unusual business plan. But the fact of the matter is that for me, that was a big part of my story. Mm. I would actually use in my mind this idea that I was swimming from buoy to buoy, representing safety for me. So, and the buoy would be this idea that would rise up. And I'm a swimmer. I happen to be a swimmer. So it actually was a very, very fun image to have. And that was my story, is I'm going to swim from buoy to buoy, and this buoy is going to be providing me with both a challenge and a resting place. Mm. But that's not the kind of story that you would put out there in your business plan necessarily, right? In my business plan, what I was talking about was using intuition. Huh. To make decisions. And that actually impressed the banker. And they did give me a loan, which, they gave me $10,000, which in those days, actually, pretty good.
Speaking of the story, so you were saying that was your reflection this morning of understanding this was my story. And this is what, did you build in part of that business on that story? So I guess what I'm getting at is when we are trying to identify what is the story that is holding things in place, and I'm curious about then, like in your case, sometimes what's holding the story in place is not obvious. Okay, the bank, and we're going to be reliable, we're going to be trustworthy, da-da-da. Okay, yeah, that's the image, that this is the story we're trying to project. But in reality, sometimes there's other things holding in place the story. Mm-hmm. And so part of me is wondering, like intuition, it sounds like, was something that was a kind of a behind-the-scenes thing that was holding the story of who you are and what you're trying to create in the world in place.
Right. Actually, if you're talking about mission, and you mentioned the word mission, I think let's talk a little bit about that because it's very important. Because I've worked with organizations – well, actually, let's even step back a little further. So if what I was about was – creating change, because it was, because sustainable building is all about change, right? It's not business as usual. That meant that they were already talking, we're talking about actually being instrumental and intentional about what we were doing. And so in a lot of ways, there's a mission that's sort of on the, on the walls of the bank, and then there's a mission internally. And I remember actually working with an organization. It was a builders association. And the first thing we had to do was develop their own mission, not the mission that they put on, on the signage outside the office or in articles and that kind of thing. But what was their mission for themselves? Who did they want to become with the program that we were developing, which was a green building program? Who did they want to become? And that was very, in addition to the fact that it helped direct our work, it was really exciting. I remember that first meeting, and everyone was like, wow, we didn't know we were going to feel like we're going to be on a team now, writing things on napkins during lunch hour, things like that. So I think, story is more than just simply getting a storyline or a plot.
Right.
It's actually inspirational and then it feeds on itself. But there are a lot of layers. This is an intricate story. This is not just a simplistic story. So, for example, that bank, they could have the story that, we're solvent. That's an important story for a bank. But it also could be we are a community contributor.
Mm-hmm.
And some banks, they do a really good job of that. Or it could be a builder who is saying, we are a good employer. We take care of our workers, like that. So there are a lot of layers to that story. But the important thing is to understand it and tease it out.
Yeah, and so you're making me think about also a friend and a colleague of mine who works for the city of Seattle. And he's in organizational development side and so forth. And it was brilliant when one of the things that he was putting together was a workshop that I would call it more of a facilitation, where he was inviting people from all over the organization to come in to then ferret out what is the story. What is the story of who we are at the city of Seattle? And it was interesting because, you like you're saying, it's a layer where at first what bubbles up, oh, well, we do this and we do that, and it's kind of that mission out there. But then what starts to come up are the things like, oh, well, we are a bureaucracy and we can't get things done. There's that myth that starts to come up, but that's part of the story. Or there's, oh, but we can't do that because we're this. Or, yeah, no, we've tried that before. So all of those things become also the story that holds and keeps change from happening.
Right. It's the making that explicit, yeah, is what's necessary in order to make the change. Because to be a change agent, and I don't like to use the word change agent so much, but agent of change, I think I prefer, is to sort of bring those things to the surface, bring those ideas to the surface that actually get in our way. You know, what parts of the story actually get in our way, and change it. We can actually change the narrative. We have the power to change the narrative.
I love it. And so then with going through your book, you do a great job of explaining, first of all, what is the story like we were discussing? Because it's not just this topical story, the superficial story. We need what is really holding it in change. And then, as you said, how do you start changing that narrative? And that's where I think a lot of people also get stuck. Because it's like, okay, I can't go into the board meetings or what if I don't have the authority to, or whatever. How do you start to change that initiative? And I saw a number of tools in your book about understanding the cycles of change and where people are in regards to change.
Right. So, yeah, there's some great research, which is actually from the health behavioral side of things that I've drawn on for my book, because they do work, and there are kind of some truisms that have come about, some facts, and there are some conditions that need to be in place for change to happen. These sort of facts are that people often do change themselves, satisfactorily, and so people have done the research to find out, well, what was in place? Why were they able to change? And what were the factors, that led them to that? And what were the stages that they went through? And what were the techniques that were that they applied to themselves? And essentially, the research which came out provides anyone who wants to be a change agent or agent of change or leader to actually apply them consciously. And I think I want to sort of reiterate that this is about sort of conscious leadership, right? This is about... That's what emergent leadership is about, is actually looking consciously at the way things are and changing them for good. Really being explicit with that. This isn't just about personal success. This is actually aspirational, which makes it different than a lot of forms of leadership.
Yeah, and let's pause there for a second, too. We can come back to how do you create change, but you're right. That's a big point. And even when we were talking about the store and you want to change the store, you want to create the change, there is that responsibility, or the word that you use too, of the authenticity of it, of why? Who is this going to benefit? Because so much, we can get ego involved there, and we want the change because I'm tired of the way the company's ran and I can do it better. And so it's also taking that time to step back and ask, okay, who's benefiting from this? Why is this change needed? And to really understand, will it be positively effective? Or is it maybe something that is more of just something that you internally would like to see differently? But, how do you distinguish between that if it's doing it for selfish needs? And I don't mean that negatively. I'm just saying sometimes we as human beings can push for a change that maybe isn't beneficial to all, and we didn't see that.
Well, one of the things that I think is important about the Emerge leadership model is that one of the large components is community. So there's always this lens of we are within a community, we are serving community, and we are within a community that helps us see a little bit more broadly and question some of the ego that might be involved. Misha, you actually have written a sidebar for the book, an essay that is really quite something about individuals who don't necessarily have the power to make the change. And a lot of times that, you know, our listeners, I'm sure, that include a lot of people who don't necessarily have direct power over situations, but they see something. They see something amiss, and they would like to, you know, create that change. How do, you know, and your essay talks about how one might ask questions and be that kind of leader, be that kind of influencer from maybe outside the inner circle, you know, of power. And I've got air quotes here for those people who are listening. So we can lead from within. And I think, again, that's kind of where I was coming from with this, is to make sure that everyone understands their capacity to lead and to provide sort of tools and essentially sort of the wisdom that comes from sort of hard knocks to actually create that change, you know, to influence change.
Yeah. Yeah, so now circling back around then, so when you're creating that change, you're, you know, and I love, and I think it's so important too to bring in the community, because that helps us ground it in, okay, what's good for all, which also leads a lot to servant leadership, because I know there's a lot of servant leadership as a foundational structure kind of in a lot of your work, which then leads me back to, so we were talking, okay, great, you see the story, you start to see the narrative that's holding things in place. And, you know, how do you start to manipulate that narrative and help other people see, if it's limiting us? And what is the potential of what we can become? And I love how you also brought in some models of change models. But what was I liked about it is you actually bridged models. And so, for example, one of the models you were talking about were the seven was the stages of change. And then you brought in Doplett's stages of change. Mm-hmm. And you realize they both have a really a good impact. Okay, here's what's happening. This is what we need to be thinking about. How do we start to change the narrative? It depends on where people are and the change itself. But also what I thought was interesting is one of the things you saw that wasn't consistent but is vital was the fact of relapse.
Mm-hmm.
Of
mm-hmm.
that, because I think so many people get frustrated. They want to create this change, and nothing changes. So they get frustrated and they give up.
Right.
But that's
right.
Part of the process.
Right. And I think this is where I think it might be really important to talk about that cycle as a spiral.
Nice. Okay, right. So I'm going to have you hold on. Can you hold on to that
sure,
thought?
Sure.
So we are talking to Kathleen O'Brien in her book, Emerge, and we're talking about change. But we're going to take a break real quick. And again, you're listening to The Misha Rauser Show. And we'll be right back after this break.
Dynamic careers in organizations require dynamic thinking. Success is measured in terms of positive, productive, meaningful workplaces. Misha Rauser, master coach, organizational psychologist, and successful entrepreneur, has helped thousands become more confident in their leadership and professional abilities. Misha's years of research and private practice have given her the tools to help you or your organization improve performance. Log on now to learn more about coaching, consulting, or training with Misha Rauser at MishaRauser.com. That's MishaRauser.com.
Hi, I'm Kelly Clarkson, and I've toured the country dozens of times, and there's one thing every state has in common: childhood hunger. The sad truth is that 17 million kids don't know where their next meal is coming from, or if it's even coming at all. Yet there are billions of pounds of surplus food around the country at farms and warehouses that could help end this injustice. But all that food is useless if it doesn't get where it needs to go. That's why the Feeding America nationwide network of food banks gathers surplus food and gets it to hungry kids before it goes to waste. But they can't do it without your help. Join me in supporting Feeding America and your local food bank. Find out how at feedingamerica.org. Together we can solve hunger. Together we're Feeding America.
To help solve hunger in your community and to find your local food bank, visit feedingamerica.org. That's feedingamerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Misha, host of The Misha Rouser Show, heard Tuesdays at 9 a.m. on Alternative Talk 1150. If you want to overcome obstacles in your career, become an effective leader, and increase productivity while still having fun, tune in and learn, laugh, and be challenged. I've helped thousands leap over their professional hurdles, and I can help you too. Join me for The Misha Rouser Show, Tuesdays, 9 a.m. That's Tuesdays at 9 a.m. on Alternative Talk 1150.
Want to hear something different from talk radio? The choice is clear. Alternative Talk 1150 AM.
Hello and welcome back to the Misha Rouser Show. Again, our show is talking about everything to do with leadership and professional development. And today we are exploring change. And I have my wonderful colleague, Kathleen O'Brien, here with me, who is just about to publish her book, Emerge, that should be hopefully hitting the stands in about a month. And again, did you want to, before I forget, how can people, even though the book's not available now, how can they find out when it's going to be available and how to get it? Do you have a website? Or?
Yeah, www.emergeleadershipproject.org.
Okay, great. So they can go there and maybe how do they find out when it's going to be released? Get on your newsletter, just read your blogs. I know you're also on LinkedIn. They can follow your posts there.
Yeah, yeah. I think so. This is a project, you know, sort of in the works. we are morphing. But yeah, if they go on to Emerge Leadership Project, there'll be announcements on there in terms of when the book will be coming out. There'll be a special section. And notice I'm saying there'll be. By the time most people hearing this, it'll be there and they can learn about the book and how to get it. Primarily, we'll be promoting it electronically, you know, sort of e-books.
Yes.
But people will be able to purchase it, you know, in print, on demand.
Well, and I like the e-book because you have all the links. Mm-hmm. Those are great.
Yeah, lots of links. Yeah.
It's a very alive book then, it's, you know, because of all the links. So it's almost your education and what you learn from it is limitless. Mm-hmm. It's so cool.
Yeah, well, the other piece of it is because there was so much to put in the book, we're actually having anyone who buys the book will also have access to tools, exercises, and videos that actually reinforce the book, the message in the book.
That's fabulous.
Yeah.
Oh, we are so looking forward to having all of that come out. Okay, so where we had left off, then we started talking about the whole change process, and you are starting to talk about spirals.
Mm-hmm.
And I love how you took the models and made them into spirals. So say more about that.
Okay, so the obvious difference, I mean, what's the difference between a circle and a spiral, right?
Yeah.
Is that there's an open-ended, you know, aspect to it, that you actually are progressing. So I think where we had ended up, we were talking about relapse, you know, and you can think about relapse as failure, or you can think about it as food for thought and as helpful in moving to the next level. And what I particularly like, and I use in my workshops, frequently will use the image of an open spiral staircase because people can communicate from one stage to another. So you're learning from your future, you're learning from your past, and you're informing your future, I guess is the better way to put that. So in a spiral, you can progress. Every lesson it's a lesson, right? Rather than a lesson.
Yes. I like the difference there.
Yeah, it's a big difference. And so the idea that it's food for thought, it's not a relapse in the sense of, you know, well, I'm done there and I should try another career.
Right. Yeah, okay. So now going back, so it's thinking about that spiral and the stages of change.
Mm-hmm.
And if we're trying to change the narrative and you know, we're thinking about, okay, how do we do that? And what are the little nuggets that we leave? You know, it's using words like, you know, what if? I love what if. You know, of conversations with colleagues. What if we did this? What if we were like that?
It's a lot of bringing appreciative inquiry in, you know, what is the potential? And it's planting those little seeds that can help people move through the transformation. And it's very similar and not unlike our own personal change. You know, it's the same seeds that sometimes we are so stuck where we are that we have to mentally plant our own seeds of just, what if? What if I was able to move up in my career? What if I did take, you know, that position that's been scaring me? Or what if I, you know, it could be anything as simple of what if I, you know, was 10 pounds lighter, mm-hmm. whatever it is.
All right.
There's always, it's that same spiral dynamic, that same movement through the cycle. Mm-hmm. What might be really helpful is we're kind of teasing people right now, like, oh, my God, what are these stages of change? How about if we share what are some of those stages to change?
So, yeah, that's a really good question. So, obviously, the first one is really, it's pre-contemplation. And I'm using, actually, the model of Doppelt. So, Doppelt actually is an author in the sustainable world, but he relies on an earlier model that comes from sort of the health sciences, and Prochaska is actually the author in that case. Actually, I'm going to go to Prochaska because I think it helps really clarify this for a lot of people. So in Prochaska's research, they came up with stages of change starting with pre-contemplation, which is exactly what it sounds like, which is before one really knows that there's something happening, but you know something's wrong. Mm. And then contemplation, where you know something's wrong and you're thinking about it. Preparation, which is, I think, should be obvious to most people, and action is next. And then maintenance is next. And then relapse is next. So for Prochaska, relapse is part of this growth process. And in going through this process, in each of these stages, there are ways, or let's say ways and means, if you will, that are most effective for one to move to the next step. And then there are ways that are not so good. They might be helpful if you were further along than, and people who are working with people and others, in change projects might introduce them too early and not actually realize that. So, for example, a reward and punishing type of program might work when people were further along with the change, whereas they won't work with someone who's really early and just maybe in pre-contemplation, right?
Yeah.
So this it's kind of scientific, but actually, if you think about your own thing, sort of, your own processes, like, well, you know, I'm not feeling really well, and I smoke, and so I think I'll smoke less. You know, might be, you know, sort of, you know something's wrong, but you don't quite know what it is, so you might actually take more vitamins, you know, instead of quitting smoking, something like that. So eventually you'll get that, wait, it's actually the smoking that's causing this problem.
Yeah.
And so liken that to a company that might have a habit, right? It's that they have that they don't even know. It's so habitual. It's so ingrained in the organization's DNA that they don't even know that it's there anymore.
Yeah.
Right. In order for them to change, you actually have to rise that to the surface. This is where someone who is a leader, whether it's within the organization or without the organization, can be very helpful, because we get so inured to the way things are that we don't even see them anymore.
Right.
Right.
And it's hard then, like you're saying, to help others see it. So that goes back to, you know, helping to explicitly expose the narrative. This is the narrative we've been falling into, mm-hmm. you know, and then asking those what if questions. What if we did do it different? What might that look like? Right. Even if you have something in your mind, sometimes it's not, you don't necessarily need to tell them exactly what you're thinking, because they're in the pre-contemplation. They're even just trying to get their head around, oh, I didn't think this was a problem. Mm.
Right, right, right. Mm. Oh, is there a problem? Exactly.
Right.
What ifs are great. They're a great tool, especially, and it's, you know, I would be lying if I said that whenever I approached an organization, I knew right off. You know, it was obvious what their issues were, or what the potential for change was. That comes over time, right? The most important thing is actually open the door to the conversation, open the door to understanding the story. The story becomes, it is revealed.
Yeah.
Right? It isn't just, you know, if you look at the first thing you can do, you know, you can look at the mission, you can look at, read their business reports or things like that. You could write your own personal biography, you know, and get some details. But, you know, about who you are. But then it's in, okay, so if this is what I think my story is, then what's the meaning of this? So I like to recommend people. There's a tool that I love to use, which is Mind Map.
Yeah.
This is not a visual media, so I can't show the audience what I'm talking about. But if you can imagine, a circle in the middle of a white piece of paper. And you have a topic, and let's say the topic is me, which, nice. Of course, most people are. And the topic is me and my growth. And then it'd be like, okay, so what might be, a branch off of that might be my health, you know? And then off of that, there'll be branches like my physical health or my spiritual health, et cetera. And then I would explore that. So tools like that can actually help me dig deeper into the DNA of my story. Because it's too easy for most of us to say, well, this is who I am,
yep.
You know, and this is how far I'll get. And this is particularly important, I think, for people who are working for large organizations who might feel powerless in those organizations. In the sidebar talk about someone who does not have, you know, power. The example that you use does not have power in an organization, but really ends up stimulating, you know, a change from without.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, and a lot of what that was. So, again, you can start to see the similarities between creating change within your organization or so forth and within yourself. And the same thing is asking, then once you've kind of dissected the story of what's holding this in place, what's my own narrative, you know, let's say a personal change, what's my own narrative holding this in place, and you start to dissect that, then it's starting to then ask, well, the what-if questions.
Mm-hmm.
What if that wasn't the story anymore? You know, what are the possibilities? And that's what we even talk about then in that sidebar when I was mm-hmm. saying, if you're not in a position of power, you can still create change just by raising those what-if questions. And it was pretty cool because in that sidebar, in that particular situation, it was interesting to watch that just by her planting those seeds, other people started taking ownership and started to share those conversations of what if I think this, I think what if we did this? And another committee was formed without her involvement to make the change that she was trying to initiate from the very beginning.
And, you know, Misha, you're really pointing to something that's very, very important in terms of emergent leadership is ownership. Who owns the change? Who owns the story?
Great point.
An emergent leader doesn't have to, like, control the story or the storyline. You know, that's not what's important. What's important is the result. What's important is the trajectory, you know, and the emergent leader is one piece along the way of the development of that story and doesn't feel like they have to own the results.
Yeah.
And that's pretty powerful, actually, because once you have the whole village, you know, sharing in the story and sharing in the leadership, just imagine what can happen.
Yeah. And, you know, but it's easier said than done, though.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we're such human beings, we want to own it. And with ownership means we control it because we have this vision of what it's going to look like.
Uh-huh.
And it's so hard to also realize you need to let go of that. It's a shared vision, like you were saying about this community. If it's always just your vision, it's going to be really hard to get that to happen. But if it's a shared vision that you're willing to let go of, it's actually probably not going to look exactly the way you wanted it to.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
But it'll last it longer.
It will.
I mean, it'll last longer. It'll be more sustaining. And that's the whole point.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. And, you know, and sometimes, and you probably have seen this too, and we just to wrap things up really quickly, but sometimes, you know, have you ever been in a situation, though, or seen a situation where the change started, you know, what somebody wanted to do, and they let go of it, and it was not the change that they wanted? I mean, that can be really frustrating, too. And so what do you, have you seen anybody in that, in a particular situation? Or if that was to happen, what do you do?
Well, there's always the making lemonades, you know, mm-hmm. out of lemons. There actually is an important sort of humbling aspect to that. I think you become a better leader. Mm. And the organization might have gone in a different direction, but that doesn't mean it's the wrong direction.
Nice. Yeah. And I think that is something that would probably be hard for some people, because if they're seeing one thing and it's a different, then it's how do you let go of that? Which sounds like it might be a perfect topic to have you back on the show again at a future date. Mm-hmm. So we have been talking with Kathleen O'Brien and her book, Emerge. And it, probably by the time you hear this, or if you are listening to this live, it'll be about a month from now. And any other last words, Kathleen, that you'd like to share before we sign off?
I think try and take the risk. You know, really know that you have a body of knowledge and experience, and regardless of the position that you're in, you can lead.
That's
wonderful. What I would say. Yeah,
excellent. So join me here every Tuesday morning on the Misha Rauser Show on KKNW 1150. You can also, again, get this more information on my website, which is, again, MishaRauser.com. All kinds of information on how to grow professionally as a leader. And just basically a lot of this stuff also relates to your own personal life, too. So for any of those, and if you have any questions, I would be happy to answer those for you. Just send them to me on my website. Otherwise, we are signing off, and we will see you next week. Thank you, Kathleen, and thank you, Benny.
Thanks so much for having me.